Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We're moving on, right. Cormac. We're moving on. On the 11th of June, 1990, Ireland was about to start the biggest party it had ever had in history. Let's do it. We're going to talk about it. For it was the day the Republic of Ireland played their first ever soccer match at the finals of a World Cup. This event, of course, became known as Italian 90. In one of his moments of nostalgia, Cormac Battle. Sorry, I'm just keep thinking. I want to talk about farts all the time.
No.
We're going to move on. Cormac Battle, we're going to talk about it because it was just one of those moments in time that was extraordinary, wasn't it?
It was. Like, you know, just if you... When I was putting this together yesterday, because I'm not a sports journalist or anything like that, but just I'm an ordinary punter. And so I was listening back to all these clips and stuff, and it's emotional stuff. I was welling up. There was hairs in the back of my neck were going up as well, and it just brought back the memories of that time. Like I was just finishing school, and the street parties. You know, people hanging out at car windows. The weather I seem to remember being absolutely amazing at the time as well.
The lads playing football on the road and the girls
Everybody playing football. People having, you know, L1 sitting out on pavements having sandwiches, waving flags around. It was total hysteria. It really was. And I don't think we've ever seen anything before that. And I don't think we have ever seen anything since. Can you remember what was going on in your life at the time? You were a bit younger than me, so...
Yeah, all my memory is just of playing football consistently till all hours on the road. I was 10 at the time, and I remember being on either my brother or my dad's shoulders in the racecourse pub watching a match and watching us qualify, but I don't remember how we qualified or how did we qualify.
Well, we won a lot of games against a lot of countries.
Well
right?
done. Yeah.
We won a lot of games.
Who says you're not a sports journo?
And well, it's just the truth. And so we got into the World Cup. But like I in 1990. But like I remember my sister. It all kind of revolved around my sister Grace's house because she had a big front garden, and they went to town on it, you know, with the house and the bunting and all that. And she, I think she'd got a new telly loan from the credit union for a telly in advance of the whole situation. So that's where it revolved around for me. That's kind of my sort of, you know, street party memories of it. But that's to kind of give it the kind of social context.
But how on earth did we get to the quarterfinals?
So this is it. Like, you know, We got into the World Cup. We'd never been in the World Cup.
We won
a
load of games.
We won a load of games.
Qualified
for the World Cup first time ever, which as for an Irish team in 1990 wasn't expected. And to go on to get into the quarterfinals of the World Cup, we thought we'd be in, play a few games, we'd be gone. Still, that would be a massive win for us. But this is the way it kind of rolled, okay? So stick with me for this. And ironically, because of the history between the two countries, can you believe who the first game we played against in the World Cup, our first game ever? Who was it? England.
Of course it was.
We played England at our first game. And okay, we drew 1-1 against England. Then we played Egypt. We drew, there was no score in that game. That's for Ireland at the time, they were good results. But it was in the third game of the first round against the Netherlands that Ireland
nearly
went out.
This is the one I think I was on the shoulders of my brother and my dad in the pub.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a listen.
Have a listen. Just let me set it up. Ireland were losing until the 71st minute. We were just, it was probably going to be all over. But this is what happened on the 71st minute of that game between Ireland and Holland. Have a listen.
That was Van Aerle, and Van Bronckhorst has lost it! It's there! Gwyn has done it! And Jack Charlton's masterstroke pays off!
Oh my God.
So in the 71st minute, Niall Quinn puts it in to make it another draw. That's three draws in a row between the Netherlands and Ireland. But it was the next match.
Yeah.
It was the next match that created the defining moment of the entire tournament for us. And let me set this up for you. And some would say it's the greatest moment in Irish soccer history. It probably is. It was Genoa, the 25th of June, and it was Ireland versus Romania. And Ireland have to win to make it through to the quarterfinals. So they have to win. This is do or die. Can you imagine what was going on in the country on that day of this game? In fact, I remember reading about Dick Spring, politician Dick Spring at the time had asked Minister for... Minister, he was the Bertie Ahern was Minister for People Who Work. Employment, I think it was. And yeah. And he asked, he said, suggested that everybody get the day off for this. It didn't happen anyway. But the Dublin Chamber of Commerce said that for everybody to be let start work early that day and finish early so you can pretty much get on the beer for the game. But look, so it was Ireland versus Romania, Genoa, the 20th of June, 1990. The score at the end of the game was nil all. So unimaginable penalty shoot
it's
began.
Awful way to go.
It was literally
for any team.
But the excitement was unbearable.
No, it's awful. I can't watch. I can't watch penalties.
Unbearable. So many would have seen us being knocked out by this point. Now we were vying for a place in the quarterfinals. Now before we get to those particular that incident, this is what Jack Charlton's advice was before the penalties to the team.
Make your mind up what you're going to do and do it. Don't change your mind. Put a ball down, make your mind up, go do it. And that's all I said to them.
Make your mind up. And he's right, though.
Don't change your mind.
Because you know that kind of... You can change your mind.
Yeah, don't change your mind.
And this is... So what happened was then, we won't go through the whole thing. It's four goals each. Everyone scored. There's only two goals left to go. And Romania's last shot, their fifth shot to score five in a row, is by Daniel Timofte. And
Packy Bonners in goals.
This is Packy Bonners in goal, and this is what happened.
Timofte against Bonner.
Yeah. He saves it!
The big man from Donegal has set it up for a victory.
Oh, God.
It was just... Now we're in a situation where if we score the next goal, we go through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup 1990, which was totally and utterly unimaginable. And David O'Leary was up to take the penalty. Could you imagine the pressure?
No.
Could you imagine that?
No. I can't imagine that pressure.
I just can't imagine. But look, this is one of the most iconic moments in Irish sporting history, if not... the most iconic, and this is how it played out. Last kick by David O'Leary to put us through into the quarterfinals of the World Cup.
This kick can decide it all. The nation holds its breath. Yes! Ireland are through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And the most popular supporters in Italy have another journey to make. David O'Leary, one of the elder statesmen of the Irish team, sends Ireland on their way to Rome. And Genoa tonight belongs to Ireland.
Unbelievable when you look at the footage of people in the, you know, the submarine bar in Walkinstown and all these, but it was just insane. The country went mad.
The country went absolutely bananas.
But I think George Hamilton got it completely right there, and it was a line that came off the top of his head at the time when he said, "A nation holds its breath."
Mm.
And that encapsulated exactly what was happening at that moment. So much so his biography is called... George Hamilton's biography is called A Nation Holds Its Breath, because it's gone into kind of, you know, lore as being one of those lines just immortalized.
This is all lovely and fab. Are we going to talk about Scalacci, or are we just going to play some?
Well, we have to. You being half Italian and all that. Are you half Italian since you're married to an Italian man?
No, absolutely not.
Did you ever have a discussion about Lau? Like, where would his where would he stand
in
your
football?
Husband in football, if it's Ireland versus
Italy first,
really,
Ireland second, England maybe third, because he got such a hard time being an Italian supporter in school that he kind of turned his back on English team. But my mother will never let Lau forget about Scalacci.
Scalacci.
My mum is a huge she will watch every game in the World Cup, everything. She will watch every single game. She's a huge football supporter and fanatic. And she was like, even when I was going, because she walked me down the aisle, she was like, "Are you sure? Scalacci."
Did she say
never
that,
forget yeah. Scalacci.
Well, look, we got through to the quarterfinals. But look, we were seriously up against it. We went on to play the favourites to win the competition, who were Italy. And we were playing them at home in Rome. And ironically, a lot of the pundits at the time says we played our very best football of that day. But have a listen to this.
Good parry, Scalacci. Should be on their feet and claiming one of the most gallant performances we've ever seen from an Irish team. Jack Charlton, proud of his team. And why wouldn't he? And proud of these people too.
Yeah, like most of us thought we'd already won at that stage. Like we'd gotten through to the quarterfinals. So I think anything that happened after that was an absolute bonus. And the fact that we got knocked out by Italy... In my memory, I could be wrong on this, but it was kind of nearly a side issue. We had won. Without winning anything, we had won, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that was it. And like, you know, Italian 90 meant so much more to us than football, because this was a turning point. This was a Rubicon moment for Irish society. Like one historian said, the Irish identity and international football collided around this. And Jack Charlton himself said, and he won the World Cup in 1966 playing for England. He said this felt more important to him than actually winning the World Cup when he did it himself. And I think Italia 90 was about, you know, letting go of the past. Like the 80s had been a very difficult decade for Ireland, you know, because we were known internationally for all the stuff that was happening up in the north and, you know, all the terrible atrocities that were happening across the UK as well with paramilitaries. But there was a sense of letting go of all that baggage of the past and people saying that they wanted Ireland to be successful. We could now be successful and respected and not always be associated with all those negative things.
A lot of texts coming in, Cormac. Someone says, I feel sorry for my kids. They've never witnessed the way the country goes when we're in a tournament. I was telling them that everyone goes mad and people are sitting on their cars and waving flags. Someone else says, I was only one, but I'm well enough. Listen to that.
Pure.
They're lying. Goosebumps. Hi, Jen. I still have the sticker album from World Cup 90. God, lads, the memories. The streets were empty that day. Where I worked was open there, where televisions being rented days in advance by those who couldn't get the day off.
That's the thing.
Extraordinary.
And that's the thing. It was a major moment for Irish television too. It was calculated that everybody over the age of 4 was watching RTE that day.
Wow.
Every single person in the entire country was watching it that day.
Will we have a listen to Jack's homecoming speech?
Oh, yeah. This is like when Ireland arrived back. England arrived back. They knocked out in the semi-finals, I think. They arrived back and they snuck back into the country. About 12 people came to see them. We had just gone through the quarterfinals. 500,000 people lined the streets into Dublin. 50,000 people were at Dublin Airport.
Best fans in the
50,000 people.
Best fans in the
were
world.
At the airport to welcome the team and Jack Charlton back. It was just mad. The whole it was unbelievable. The streets were completely full in Dublin, and Jack Charlton made this great speech.
We left Ireland about 5 weeks and 3 days ago, and I took with me 22 players. We prepared properly. We had a little bit of scrum. We ate well, and we've done very little. We're going to change that tonight.
We drank very little. Boo. But we're going to drink tonight. Yay! That is the most Irish thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know. But that's it. Jack just knew how to tap into it, you know. And he's an honorary Irish man. And he used to go fishing up on the Moy for salmon and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that was it. And I think I have a theory about this. I could be wrong. Someone can argue with me if I'm wrong. I think the time Ireland beat Romania in that competition in World Cup Italia 90 was the happiest collective moment in the history of this country. I think up to that point, nothing as happy as this. And I think since, I know a lot of great things have happened in Ireland. You know, Casey Taylor, Garth Brooks returning to Croke Park. Maybe that's a big thing for some people. But I would argue that that is the greatest moment of glee that happened in Ireland on one day since Ireland has been here. Do you think that's kind of true?
Absolutely.
Am I wrong?
It's instigated a lot of text messages this morning. Someone else says, Jen, I went to Italia 90 for a month. I flew to Naples. Amazing times, amazing stories. That's from Colin. Will we take a listen to that moment that caused the entire country to lose its mind just one more time?
Ah, yeah. Let's go out on this.
Let's go out on this. Do you want to set it up and just remind people what
this is David O'Leary going up to try and score a penalty that will put us through to the World Cup quarterfinals. If he misses this one, we're done. But if he gets it, we go through. And this is what happened.
A nation holds its breath.
This kick can decide it all. The nation holds its breath. Yes! Ireland are through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And the most popular supporters in Italy have another journey to make. David O'Leary, one of the elder statesmen of the Irish team, sends Ireland on their way to Rome. And Genoa tonight belongs to Ireland.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.